Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and this is your host, Denise Bryson, and we are on the broadcast today excited to continue to talk about renewing our mind through the Word of God. We're so excited about our speaker that will be guiding us through today, and we're just thankful for that. But I'm telling you, that song ministers to me because I must be close to it, close to my destiny, and I'm willing to go through it. And I know he'll take me through it. So I'm telling you, I am close to my destiny. And I'm hopefully that the word of God will be planted on good ground today as it is thrown, as the seed is thrown, as it's poured out today. That I'm praying that the ground will be good and that people will receive the word of God. They'll be hearers and doers of his word. They'll be willing and obedient. And I'm telling you, they'll have faith and works with it. So that's what my prayer is today, is that the people of God will hear the word of God, and those that need this word would find it, those that need this word would hear it, and that it will be a blessing to their soul, and their soul will begin to prosper. I just want to start with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm so glad just to be among in your presence today, God, because in your presence there's healing and there's peace and there's joy and there's turnarounds. Hallelujah. We get in the presence of God. Lord, I worship you today because you're wonderful, you're omnipotent, you're omnipresent, you're omniscient, you're sovereign. Lord, we thank you for being our creator, our God. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, forgive us of anything, sins or anything, omission and commission that may have been committed, oh God, known and unknown, seen and unseen. Lord, we ask your forgiveness. But Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace, God. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be able to sow the word of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, their souls will be set free and delivered, and they will give their lives over to thee. That's our purpose, God. It's for the souls, God. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us this purpose, oh God, and we're going to continue on in it. And we thank you, Lord, for your extending your hand to us to be able to do so. So, Lord, we glorify you. We magnify your holy name. We ask you to bless Elder Timberlake today as she delivers the word. Anoint her with her yoke-breaking anointing. Bless all those who will be listening in and logging in and calling in, and those who will even listen to it later, that they will be blessed by the word of God. Lord, we thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
We're thankful just to be on today. I was even thinking about that message that was being preached today. It was a mind-renewing message this morning. So I thank God for that. I feel like we're on the right track. When I hear stuff like that, I get excited because I feel like we are on the right track and we're doing what God is having us to do in this hour. And so I'm going to turn over to Elder Timberlake, and I'll come in when she asks questions, and we'll go from there. Praise us. Go for it, Elder Timberlake. It's in your hands.
All right. Thank you, Elder. Thank you, Elder Bryson. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. I'm sorry. My brother was preaching his first sermon today, so I didn't hear what the pastor said today, but we're going to see what God is saying to us at this particular moment. And just before we came on the air, this song just dropped in my spirit, which I'm not going to sing, but the words of it gets us on point with having a renewed mind, how we can have it. And it was an old song that they used to sing in the olden days when I was a kid. You don't hear it too much now, but it went like this, had these words, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never.
Yes.
Keeping that in point with having a renewed mind, if you never forget what he brought you from or what he brought you through and what you know his word has said to you that he's going to take you to, then it will keep you on the right track with a mind stayed on Jesus. For he said, the word says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So as we think like Christ, the more we think like Christ, the more we can handle the issues, the challenges, the things that we're faced on a day-to-day basis, and the more our mind is being transformed towards the things of God, and so we can have a better relationship with God, so we can be able to live in this life and not have to be a part of this life, but be an example like Jesus was for us. So as we never forget, whether you are a new Christian or been a Christian for a long time, or you don't even know Christ and you just happen to tune in, if you just can remember something that was out of your hands and something supernatural happened to cause you to have favor or to save your life miraculously, let me know. Let me tell you, let you know that if you don't know, it was the hand of God protecting you, shielding you, keeping you, blessing you. And we should never forget it. As we talked about last time, we mentioned David in the Bible, who was the second king of Israel, of the United Kingdom. how the kind of man he was. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. That is a powerful thing for God to feel that good about a person. And we realize, and what the Bible depicted about David was that he was not a perfect man. So we're not asking anybody to be perfect. We're not saying that you might not falter. And somebody might be listening today that might even feel like, I don't even deserve it because I've done too much dirt, I've been too terrible, and God can't use me. Or you once was with the Lord and you messed up and you're feeling the devil has talked to you and said there's no use, there's nothing to it, it's not working. Well, we got good news for you that all you need is a renewed mind so your thought process can change. Your mindset needs to change. And so when the enemy comes and brings these things toward you, towards us, or he comes in like a flood, well, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That's why we need the Word of God so we can have something to war with. Because when the enemy tempted Jesus, he used the Word. He let him know that it is written, and we have to do the same thing today. So let's always remember what God has done for us, and when we are going through and faced with challenges, that if he did it then, he can do it today, for he is the same God, yesterday, today, and forevermore, and he changes not. And what I love about David was the heart of David. That's what we want to get to. We want to get to, Lord, I messed up. But will you please forgive me and take me back? Accept me back into the fold because I want to do right. I don't know if anybody on the line has ever been there where you wanted to do right, but you were pulled. You were struggling. You were struggling because your flesh was wanting to do wrong, because wrong was easy and it was convenient. And it seemed to be hard for you to try to do what God wanted you to do. But it was seemingly hard because of the mindset. Because the way of a transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. So it is not hard for us if we learn how to submit to God and be surrendering to his will for our lives. So with David surrendering, having a heart, a contrite spirit when he messed up, and he messed up many times. He messed up more than once. You know, he kept messing up, but he still had a heart towards God, and God still heard his prayer. When he repented and God heard him, God met his need, God was for him. God loved him so much that Jesus came through his generation, through the tribe of Judah. And Jesus is even known as the son of David. That's the kind of relationship. So it lets you know that we can be flawed and God can still use us.
Yes.
You don't have perfect. He's not looking for perfect. He's looking for a willing heart, a willing spirit and a made-up mind. Well, the first thing we need to do with a made-up mind, we need to, because the way God created us, we talked about this early on, he gave us all free will. He wanted us to choose him. Just like when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them guidelines and told them, you can have all this, but don't touch this one tree. Don't touch it, don't eat of it, don't partake of it. He gave them free choice because he wanted to be submissive to him. See how much he had given them. They living in this, don't have to want for anything, living in a place where all your needs are met. And all you have to do is avoid one tree. And seemingly, when the enemy starts talking to us, remember I said you got to guard your ears, you got to guard your eyes, you got to guard what you hear, what you listen to, because the enemy will use any technique, and he'll trip up and leave out a word or put in a word. He'll do something to trick you if you're not careful and if you're not on guard. And just like they messed up in the garden, we're struggling with that today. But we're saying if you keep your mind on Jesus, if you meditate on his word day and night, we say it every time we teach, that if you study his word and surround yourself around spirit-minded people and listen to things that are upbuilding and that are positive, and remove all this negativity out of your life, then you'll be able to see that your spirit man will be getting strengthened. And when your spirit man gets strengthened, that is all happening in your mind, because in your mind is where the power mode of your physical being is controlled, as well as your spiritual being is also being controlled. You make your decisions in your mind. And the first decision I want to admonish every one of us to make, if we haven't already, is to choose Christ. You have to make a choice. And it is a free will to choose Christ. Some people used to say, and I used to hear the old saying, I tried everything else, and it failed.
Yes.
Well, let me recommend Jesus. If you just try him, choose Jesus, and I guarantee you, it'll work out all right. Am I saying you won't have some struggles? No. Am I saying sometimes you're going to be down? I'm not saying that you won't, because you will. But you'll have an extra help to help you to get through it. You won't be going through your issues by yourself. And if you stay focused and committed to God, He will help you, because He already covered it. Because remember, there are no secrets from Him. There's nothing that He doesn't know. He's all sovereign, all knowing. And He sees everything, and He's everywhere. So He knows every issue. He knows every problem. He knows our sorrow. So whatever we're going through, I recommend that we choose Christ. Put Him first in our lives. What does it mean to choose, to make a choice? It is an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. God has given us the possibilities. We can either choose life by choosing Him, or we can choose death by ignoring Him. I choose life. And let me recommend life to you, because He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. If you're not having the abundant life that God promised, you need to check some things out. Re-examine yourself, because sometimes maybe we're not where we're supposed to be, and we need to get a little closer to God. And sometimes He's testing us. Let's use Job as an example. The Bible tells us Job was a man that was living upright. He was a rich man in those days. He had everything that he should need. He had property. He had land. He had family. He had people reporting to him and working for him. He was doing wonderful, but he also was an upright man for that time and believed in God. He had faith. And the enemy wanted to test his the enemy wanted to say that he was only doing it because God had a hedge around it. And he kept coming to God saying, if you do this. And every time God did something to let things happen to Job stayed truth to his faith. He stayed truth to his faith. When he lost his property, he stayed truth to his faith. When he lost his family, he stayed truth to his faith. When his flesh was afflicted with boils and he was in a lot of pain and agony, he stayed true to his faith, to what he believed, because he said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yeah.
This is the foundation of a renewed mind is built upon your faith. Wherever your heart is, which is your mind, there lies your treasure. I want to know, is God the center of your life? Is your treasure in Jesus? Is it in Him? Because Job is a good example to let us know that if you hold truth to your faith and you don't give in to your circumstances and your challenges, though they may be many and though they may be hard and may be heartbreaking, if you stay true to your faith, He is faithful and just. And He will remember you for your faithfulness. For He'll count it for you like He did for Abraham as righteousness. And He will reward you accordingly, just like He did Job. Because when it was all over, Job was blessed with double for his trouble. And that's what we get to remember. Sometimes the wind is blowing and the storm is raging and it looks like it won't stop. Well, the message says today that my mind has been renewed on a daily basis because I trust God. I see with my natural eye that there's a storm in my life. There's trouble and things are not going well, and it looks like I'm going under and about to sink. But I'm going to stand strong even when the water is deep and it's coming up towards my head. I'm going to stand strong in something else. But the Word of God, the Word of God is true. So as we get our relationship growing with the Word of God and meditating on the Word, when we are going through things, we have strength, we have extra force, and we'll have the tenacity and the fortitude to make it because we're not going through by ourselves. So the first thing I want to recommend that we choose Christ in our free will. If we choose him, he promised to help us. He promised to go with us. Does anybody
yes.
have anything to say at this point? Okay. Then the next one I want to talk about, that was choice. And then with the free will that we've chosen God, that means that we have to change. We want to change the way we think. We want to change some of the things we've been doing. Last week, last time we read in Ephesians, we talked about putting off the old nature of man and putting on the new nature. We've got to get rid of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and all these things.
Yeah.
If they're still hanging on to us, we got to get a little closer, do a little bit more neology, get back up, down on our knees and spend a little bit more time with the Lord. We might have to push the plate back a little bit. We got to do what we call fasting. We have to do what we call sometimes some meditating. Sometimes you just need to sit and think on the Word. Or just think on it. Just meditate on it. Meditate on what you already know, what you've already heard, what you've already learned. Just begin to think on it. Just chew on it like you're eating a real meal, like you're eating a piece of steak, the best piece of steak that you've ever had. That's how you have to do the Word. You got to chew on it. Take your time. Sometimes we eat our food too fast. We need to take our time and begin to chew on it. They say we should chew like 20 seconds and more between every time you take another bite to give the food time to mingle in our mouths and get chewed up and enough that it would digest properly in our body. The same way we need to take time while we're chewing natural food so we don't get choked. So the food can digest properly. We don't have side effects from it. We have to do that with the Word of God. We need to take time with it. We need to meditate on it. We need to court it. You just need to spend some time and meditate on it and see how it can just minister to you. It'll minister to your innermost parts. Because when your spirit man starts building up, it helps change your mind. It helps to change the way we think. Remember in Romans 2, it tells us to not to be conformed to this world. Romans 12, the second, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is how we renew our minds. And as we're renewing our minds, we're growing. And as we're growing spiritually, we're changing. Little by little, things that used to get on your nerves, it doesn't get on your nerves as much. Things that you used to sort of enjoy, even though you knew it was wrong, you didn't want to give it up. The more you spend time with the Lord, the more you meditate on his word day and night, you easily, gradually, you don't have an appetite for that anymore. It just starts dissipating, and you realize you start growing, and then the Lord starts speaking to you more. You see God operating in your life, and you can just begin to speak the things, and they begin to happen. And, you know, because we live beneath our privilege, we miss some of these benefits. Because if we line up with the word, and keep that and get that relationship with God and get our minds converted to be the mind of Christ, seeking those things that are above and not just these things that are on the earth. If we just hide the word of God in our heart, like David said, so that we won't sin against him, if we do all the steps that God has already given us to do, then he has promised that he would bless us, that he would help us, and we would see the manifestation of his promise in our lives. Does anyone have something to say at this point?
That's a blessing. I'm already
too excited.
Yes.
Go ahead. Hello?
No, I was saying we're just thoroughly enjoying you. Just go ahead with the word. Amen.
Okay, and the next one we want to look at is, let me go back to choice, because I got to thinking about Joshua. Joshua, he has a bad brother. And I
yeah.
love Joshua, and I remember when there was a choice to be made, he was talking to the people, and he told them, if it seemed evil for you to serve the Lord, Use you this day whom you will serve. What is God, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's in Joshua 24:15. That's the kind of commitment we need. The next thing I want to talk is commitment. You've got to make up your mind. If your friends don't want to go, if family don't want to go, if family don't want to serve the Lord, family don't want to be with the Lord, don't like the way the Lord is taking you and want you to go in a different direction, and they got a different goals for your life, but you know the will of the Lord for your life, then you got to stay on focus and stay on point and be committed. I love you, but I'll see you if you don't want to go with me. Because if you want to be with me, you need to come this way, because I'm going to follow the leading of the Lord. Because, see, we're not doing our own will. He gave us free will. But our free will, when we commit to him, we've got to line up with his will. And his will is God's will. He already knows the plan that he has for our life. He already knows that. And it's a good future for us if we begin to see things in the spirit. We struggle many times because we can't see it with our natural eye, and that means we're still growing, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't keep staying at stage zero, because as a child grows, he starts as liquid, he starts as fluid, and then it develops and grows, and then it's connected to a cord, and then after some time of gestation, it grows and matures, and then it has to come to another world that it doesn't know, and it goes through different stages. The same way a child goes through stages, we are like little children. We have to go through stages, but we have to grow, because when a child doesn't grow and they stay small, we call them dwarfs. We don't want to be spiritual dwarfs. We need to grow, and we need to find out what is causing us to be stuck right here, because we need to be getting, God wants us to be there, but we are here, and we need to be in pursuit of his word and his will to get to where he wants us to be. And that comes with being committed to his will and to his word. What does commitment mean? It is a state of quality of being dedicated to a cause. If you say you love him, and we say we do, then we need to be committed to the cause, his cause, not our cause. And as he brings us up and begin to bring light to us, that we not forget from whence we have come and who brought us and why we are where we are. Because if it had not been for the Lord on our side, all of us would have been swallowed up, or we would have fainted. But he was on our side. And we always need to remember what he has done for us. What we don't want to be like, keeping the old man, we don't want to be like Saul, King Saul, as we know the story of King Saul. Remember, Israel, they wanted a king. First of all, that shows, once again, that free will, when God was already their king, but it was a king they couldn't see. They were looking at other countries, other nations. What happens? You want to be like somebody else, looking across the fence. The grass seemingly looks better on the other side when you had the best. Many times we have the best, and we don't recognize it until we have lost it. They had the best, but they complained and they begged and they pleaded and they wanted a king, and God heard them. And he wanted to show them, you had the best, now I'm going to show you how it's going to work with a man leading you. And when they got a king, when Samuel anointed Saul as king, now he was tall. The Bible said he was good looking, and he stood over all men and looked like he should have fit the bill, because he had the outward stature. But what Saul didn't have was the inward tenacity and the inwardness that it took to be a leader of God's people, because he hadn't been in office about a year, not long enough to start messing up. He disobeyed because he got caught up with the title of being king because the people were honoring him, and forgot who put him in that position, and forgot where his order is supposed to come from. There's always somebody over the head. There's in management. There's always somebody over that person. And you always have to remember who put you there. And Saul got caught up trying to please the people rather than pleasing God. I want to admonish us, as our minds are being renewed on a daily basis, that we don't get caught up with pleasing people. Our focus is pleasing God. That's how we stay in God's will. When you start doing things out of your, when you start, if you're not a priest, you shouldn't have been given sacrifices. And when God tell you to go and destroy everything in a place, you need to destroy everything. And don't come back bringing something because you had an idea or you thought. No, it's not about what we thought. Not about what Saul thought. It was about what God had commanded. Obedience, the word said, is better than sacrifice. The way we stay on track with keeping a renewed mind is being obedient to the word of God. And whatever he has commanded us to do, that's what we need to do. And to keep us from becoming caught up with our circumstances and what people say. Because when people see you going up, they will begin to worship you and they'll commend you. And all those things are good in its place. But you got to be so careful that you don't absorb it like a sponge and take it in. You have to be humble so you can always say, oh, but for the glory of God or for the grace of God or for the mercy of God. That's why I'm here. That's why he's using me the way he is. That's why he's doing what he's doing through me. But to God be the glory. All credit is his. Because it is God working through me. And I'm just a willing vessel. And that's what it takes. That's what God is looking for, is a willing vessel. But for us to stay a willing vessel, we have to stay in flow with him. And how do we stay in flow? By keeping our minds renewed. Does anybody have anything to say at this point? Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, and we're going to read 13 through 16. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Read that again. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There are many people that say, they say God called them, and God has a plan for their life, and I believe he does. But sometimes there are some, they say God called them, but you see no fruit of it. You see no evidence of it, but they're out there. The word is telling us to be ye holy, so that means there's only one way. We might see people got all kind of ways going on, but it's only one way. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if we're going to be like Christ, we've got to be holy. We have got to seek his kingdom. We have got to put on the whole armor of God. We have got to show the attributes of God by doing Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, because when we exemplify and show the character of God, then we are showing Christ to the world and to others, and we're showing them and it is possible in this life, in this world system, to live a life that lines up with the word of God in this worldish system. Because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We know that. Because we are the kingdom of God. And when we are under the kingdom, our authority and our direction come from our higher source, which is God. Because we are under a theocracy, and he is our leader. And we look to him for direction and guidance, and that is what God is looking for from us as humans. He made us to worship him. We were designed to worship him. That's why David had his heart, because David worshiped him. When you worship God, it is a love experience. It is a love-building relationship. It is strength-renewing. It just feels wonderful. It's like in the world they would say they had an affair. It's such a romantic thing, atmosphere when you begin to really sincerely release yourself totally and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and just let his anointing just usher into your presence. It fills the room. It fills your heart. It fills your mind. It changes the way you think. It opens up your eyes so that you can see. You get rhema word. You get revelation. In the presence of God, when we open up and just begin to worship him, because we let him know how much we adore him. We let him know that our faith is towards him, that we trust him. Because God, you know, we trust God, but God want to know, can he trust us? We talk with lips, but he want to see our actions and our hearts, because he knows them. He knows your heart. He knows our potential, but he wants you to see what you are doing towards him. Are you in pursuit of him? Are you worshiping him? Are you spending time with him?
Yes.
Are you loving him the way he loves you?
Yes.
Are you only calling him when you need something? Tell nobody want friends that you only hear from them when they need something. We get tired of them, and we say we don't want to be used.
Yeah.
Like God, he doesn't want that. He wants you to be with him 24/7, and then he wants you to take out some quality time. Well, it's just nothing but you. Spending time together, getting to know each other better, just vasting in his presence.
Yes.
And as we do that, we'll be able to put on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the attributes of God. Those are what we're supposed to exemplify in our daily lives. Those are the characters that we should see, that they should see when we're at work. Those are the attributes they should, your wife or your husband or whomever you live with, should see in your home. They should see those attributes being distributed, being shown when you're at church. They should see this. If you're at the grocery store, wherever you go, you can't put it on and put it off when you feel like it. It needs to be your character, and you have to build character, so that means you have to work at it. It's not something that happens overnight. You've got to practice. You've got to work at it. You've got to do something to grow. Like I said a moment ago, that kids, when they are babies, they have to go through different stages. Also, they got to be fed. And they start out on milk, and they take milk for a little while. And after a while, they get a little more substance, and they get something else. And then after a while, they can start eating a little meat. There comes a time that you have to get off the milk and start growing and spend some time with the Lord, and you can't keep saying, nobody taught me, and nobody did this, and want to blame the preacher. Well, where I go to church, they're not teaching. Well, you need to ask God where to go to church, number one, so you can be where you can hear the word that you need.
Yes.
Growth that you need. You just don't go because that's what my family always went, or that I like the preacher, or I like somebody that's there. You need, if you're concerned about your soul, if you're concerned about growing spiritually, concerned about being in the will of God, then you consult God for these major decisions in your life so you can assure that you are lining up to be in his will. And as you do that, he knows we have flaws. We need to work on those. You have to work on them every day. And when one of them pops up, when that anger spirit pops up, you need to tell anger, no, you're not taking control over me. I have control over you. I can manage this. I can manage this in my own flesh, but through the help and the help of the Holy Spirit, because God built us with our mind is very powerful, and there are many things we can do in our own will. That's why he gave us free will, because he knows what he gave us. We can make decisions, and it looks like, you know, look like because we made it, it worked out, and then we build up and say, oh, I can do this and I can do that. But Paul always said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. So there is a point to where your will grows out. It is limited. Even though it can be powerful, it is still limited, because there comes a point that nobody can do certain things for you but God. That's the way he built us. We're all built with an innate spot for us. That only personality that can fill it is the Holy Spirit. He made us with a part of him inside of us. And we'll be incomplete until we get our minds renewed and realize what's missing. What is it that makes me overeat? What is it that makes me want to take drugs? What is it that makes me want to overdose on alcohol? What is it that wants me to be done in that sinfulness?
What are those things? What am I trying to fill? With the need that you're trying to fill, the void in your life is the void that you need to fill. That Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Come learn of me. The void is the Jesus in you, the part of him that he made, that he put in all of us, that's innate in all of us, that only can be filled through us renewing our minds and accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve, because when I just start thinking that I don't deserve his mercy, I don't deserve his grace, I don't know why he's so good to me. But when I think about how good he is, and I know I don't deserve it, that makes me want to love him more. That makes me want to pursue him more. That makes me adore him more. Because we do that for our flesh. When we find people that love us in spite of our mistakes, and they'll take us back and forgive us, we love them more. Well, how much more can we do for the one that created us? The one that knows us, the one that knows all about us, the one that loves us the most. How much more can we give to him? Lord, we ought to say, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Renew the right spirit like David. Have the humble heart to receive his love, to receive his forgiveness, so we can eradicate guilt and shame, because the enemy want to keep us in bondage under guilt and shame and want us to remember our past. But he said, the past has been washed away. I won't bring it up again. I'm throwing it in the sea of forgetfulness. All you need to do is focus and run towards me for my arms are open and stretched wide to receive. Can we accept God today to just let him just wash our minds? Lord, clear my thoughts. Give me new mind. Give me a new mind. Regenerate my mind. Give me the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Let me be the example that Christ was in this life to others, so I can bring light to a darkness in somebody else's life. Let's not stay in darkness, because when we stay in our struggles, we are living in darkness and we can't help our sisters or our brothers. He's come to help us so we can help somebody else. So we got to stay ready, just like a car. You know, you can't, you know, if you don't continue to put gas in a car, you don't check the oil every now and then, the transmission got to be checked, the power fluid steering got to be checked sometimes. If we don't do this on a periodical basis, after a while that car gonna stop running. That's because it's gonna be depleted. The motor's not gonna turn. It might freeze up. The same thing happens to us spiritually. We've got to feed our spirit man to keep our minds renewed so we can be in position for God to use us and be in his will. Does anyone have something to say at this point?
Well, I wanted to say it was something that sparked my attention. Oh, I was thinking about when, you know, as those that have been saved for a while and been in the Lord for a while, you feel like you've read the Bible over and over and over again. I just think that, you know, I was reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I've been there this last week studying those particular passages of Scripture. And I just think about all that jumped out at me. I've read those scriptures I don't know how many times, those verses, those chapters, I don't know how many times. But just what jumped out at me when I was reading it this time. And no, that's why when you were saying that, you know, we start out on milk and then we get on baby food and then we get, you know, something with a little more substance and then we begin to keep growing as we grow, we can take on a little more. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You have to keep reading it over and over, because what you receive when you was on milk is going to be totally different than what you receive when you was on meat.
Amen.
So it's a different level of renewing. That's why it says you're renewing your mind. You're doing it's a daily thing we have to do, because it's a different level. Every time as you grow and you read that same scripture again, something else will jump out at you that maybe you didn't even see when you was on milk.
Amen.
That's all.
That's good. That's good, because when you're a baby, you can't eat meat.
Uh-uh.
So in the spiritual, you can only eat so much. Yes.
He ain't going to give you a meat revelation and you on milk.
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah, because you can't handle it. You can't even receive it. You won't recognize it if it came.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyone else have something to say?
Right, because that's a waste. And he said his word ain't going to return on him void. If you give a baby a steak, you wasting. God ain't going to do that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just want to say, oh, glory. Glory, glory. This is wonderful. Your teaching is just absolutely wonderful. It just, the Holy Ghost will stir up your remembrance, stir up that fire in you, make you, you know, come to your senses and realize who God is, bring you back down, and just, you know, we have to worship him and let him lead us. And I just thank the Lord for it. We need this, on a, like you said, on a daily basis, because our flesh does rise up. And it is enmity against God. But when you hear the word and you read the word and you pray the word, it'll just bring it all back down. Bring it back to your remembrance, who God is and what he is in you and through you. And I thank the Lord for hearing this tonight. Thank you so much.
Yes, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And anybody else have something to say? And I was also thinking about, you know, we're talking about now for people that's been saved and just whether you're a baby Christian or a new Christian, been saved for a long time. But there might be somebody on the line that will listen to it later. Just has never accepted Christ. Maybe they heard about him and maybe they haven't. And or they have done something so terrible that somebody has said you'll never amount to anything and God will never be able to use you and nobody will want you. And they're feeling low. You know, about themselves, and they don't want to go to church or won't go, or don't want to hear anything about the church. But, you know, when I was studying that, I began to read about Paul when he used to be Saul in the New Testament, the one that wrote most of the New Testament, all the epistles in the New Testament. When I thought about him and the life, what he used to do, and how dirty a life he was because he used to kill Christians, search him out, and he was there when they were stoning Stephen, part of the process of Stephen, a believer of Jesus Christ. But one thing about God, when he has a plan for your life, the old folks used to say, you might run, but you won't get away. He has a way to get your attention. And because Paul had done so much, because he was so committed to what he believed in, when you're committed to one thing and then your mind get converted and get renewed towards God, all you're doing is changing partners. That same commitment that you had or that tenacity you had in what you were doing in the world for the devil, you change partners. So what he gives an example to those are, it doesn't matter how bad the terriblest thing that you could have done, it's still, you still got room at the cross. There's still room at the cross for forgiveness. All you have to do is make that choice and to confess your sins. There's still room for you. He's left the door. He gave an example in his word to let us know that here's a man that used to kill the very people that we're talking about, the people that love God, the people that was trying to stand up for God. He used to kill them, and he turned around. God turned his, he put a hook in him and got his attention on the road to Damascus. And when he realized, the good thing about when it happened to Paul, because he'd been so committed to the opposite, against Christians, when it happened to him, he recognized it was the Lord. God has a way to get your attention, and he can use you. He is an example that regardless of how dirty or how low you've been and how bad you could have been or the things you could have done were just totally awful, God can still use you in the kingdom. It's because somebody needs that testimony. Somebody needs Saul's testimony, how he overcame. Because you can overcome this, and God can use you. And he wasn't like the Saul, the king. Saul had the look and was already born into the tribe of Israel, but he still didn't have the heart. His heart wasn't there. His heart wasn't there. It was about him. He got caught up with what was going on. But here's another person whose name used to be Saul, changed to Paul, who when he came enlightened by the word and accepted Christ, his total attitude changed, and he was so adamant about the word of God and teaching the word of God. He was so adamant about it. That's how we have to be adamant about it. And just how things we used to like in the world and things we really liked and we went way out of our way to make sure we got it done. That same attitude should be shown over here in the kingdom, because it needs to be used, because somebody needs to see it. Somebody needs that gifting that God has given you. You need to share it, and not just in your little group. We've got to learn how to get outside of the box and help others and ask God for our innovative ways on how to do it and give us the strategy on what to do and when to do it, to give us the wisdom that we need and lead us to the right people that can receive it. Because when Paul was changed, he was changed indeed. And the life that he led after he accepted Christ, in this life, all the stuff he went through, being put in prison and all kind of stuff, I don't know. You know, sometimes we think, I couldn't have taken all that. But once you're committed, come hell or high water, whatever you have to go through, you said, Lord, as Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And then you'll have that testimony that I was tried in the fire, and I've come out, came forth as pure gold. That's what God's going to test us. He's testing us when we have some of these trials. He's trying to see what we're made of, because we can talk high on the mountain. But when the test comes, can we stay there? Can we walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Can we walk through it knowing that God is with us? His rod and his staff is there to protect you and shield us. Do we really know it? Do we act like we know it when we're walking through it? Do we forget? That's why we have to remember, we'll never forget what he's done for us and what he said, because he is true to his word. If he said it, it shall come to pass. He didn't say if he said it's coming to pass tomorrow, it's going to be tomorrow. But if he just said it's come to pass, your tomorrow might not be his tomorrow, your today might not be his today. But if God spoke a word and said it shall be, it's going to be. There's no doubt that it is going to be. And so when we build up our faith, because in renewing our minds, we are building up our faith, because something happens to us sometimes when we're going through a lot of stuff, and look like we just get beat, because look at Elijah. I mean, Elijah just pulled down fire from heaven and all this kind of other stuff and proving God in front of people, and had 450 prophets, Jezebel prophets killed, and then he gets scared when he heard that Jezebel was in pursuit of killing him. But he had been used mightily of God. So all of us have some down moments. But God has a way of getting our attention. What we have to do is refocus and get in another gear. You know, sometimes we got to go from first gear to second gear. We got to get in another gear. We can't stay in park, and we have to get out of neutral. We got to get where we're going. So we got to get in drive and go in the direction that God has told us, in knowing that if we go, he's with us. And if he's with us, he's more than the whole world against us. And no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Now, it might form and it might come, but it will not prosper. So when the darts come to the left, to the right, to your back, you are yet protected all the way around, because he has a shield of protection around you. And then he has his angels' goodness and mercy. They're just following you everywhere you go to keep you, to keep the hand of the enemy off of your life, so you can fulfill the destiny that God has purposed for you. That's what comes when your mind is being renewed on a consistent basis, because that's the walk you be in. You be in sync. You know, you get in rhythm. That's what it is. When your mind is being renewed, you stay in rhythm with God. I mean, you just begin to think like him. You know, you just begin to think like him. And all these other preachers and ministers that we hear to get all these revelations, the same thing God does with them, he can do through us. If we get in his rhythm, and if we spend the time, and if we just begin to meditate on him, and keep him first and stay focused on him. Does anybody else have anything to say on that?
Thank you, Lord.
If not, just want to say that I talked about, I just want to sum it real quick. I talked about choice. God gave us free will. We can choose you this day who we're going to serve. If we're going to serve God, let's serve him. Let's serve him with our whole heart. And let's allow him to change our mind. Let's start working. Your mind won't change on its own. God gave you free will. You've got to decide that I need to change. I want to change. If you make up your mind, then God will help you. He will help you to get to the next point in your thought process. He will help you, but he will not do it for you. You've got to do your part, and you've got to be committed. When you say you love him, commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your understanding, and he will always direct your path. Let his word be the light unto your feet. Let it be your pathway. Let it be your pathway so you will know what direction to go with. As you renew your mind, stay in the word, because your mind can only be renewed through the word of God. With that said, Elder, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Praise the Lord. Woo-wee. I'm telling you, this has been a good, this has been a good lesson. I was over here just excited about it and thanking the Lord for the word of God, because it was blessing my soul. So, and I'm just so thankful for Elder Timberlake, because I know you, people don't understand, when you get ready to deliver words, it takes some time, and you gotta get yourself together and study and be under attack and all of that. It ain't no easy thing to bring it together, but I'm telling you, God has blessed us today with the word of God, and we're so thankful for it. And I just want to say to all of those, she really did an altar call already. But I just want to say for those of you that heard this word today, if you want to give your life to the Lord, he is ready to accept you today to be a part of his family, because he wants us to come to him. He wants us to be saved. It's his will that none shall prosper. I mean, that none shall perish, but that all should be called to repentance. So we want you to come. He wants you. So if you want to give your life today, we're going to pray that every stony heart will turn to flesh and will come saying, what must I do to be saved? And give your life to the Lord today. Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, it says that thou shalt be saved. And so we hope that you have that as your basis for wanting to be saved, is that you believe that God has raised him from the dead and that he is your Savior and that he is the one that saved you, and by him only can you be saved. And so if you believe that in your heart today, we believe that God has saved you, and we believe that you have come to Christ. And I just pray this prayer with me as I pray, and I'll try to give some pause time for you to come in. But Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross so that I may now have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. I know that without you in my heart, my life is meaningless. I believe in my heart that you, Lord God, raised him from the dead. Please, Jesus, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me and come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior today. I need you to be my Father and my friend. I give you my life, and I ask you to take full control from this moment on. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer with me, I believe if you told the Lord that, Lord, I want to be saved and I repent of my sins, I believe that God has saved you today. Welcome to the family. We thank you for the word of God, and we pray that this word fell on good ground, and as you heard it, you were rejoicing in your spirit, and you begin to come and say, I got to know who she's talking about. My mind is being renewed right now so that I can be saved. We thank God for each and every one of you, those that are listening in now, those that may find this broadcast later. We know, God, if you need this word, and if you weren't on the line today, I believe God is going to bless you to find it, and it's going to be a blessing to you, and you will come to Christ, and souls will be saved, set free, and delivered. We thank God for Elder Timberlake today, and I'm just going to pray a short prayer for her, and then I'm going to ask if Elder Poston would pray us on out. And then we're going to be, we'll see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. Thank you for listening in, and thank you for your support. We thank God for each and every one of you. And share the word of God. Share this with somebody. You know somebody that needs this word. Share this broadcast with them so that they will be able to hear the word of God. We know they went to church this morning, but sometimes we just need a little, we need that foundational teaching that will help us to be able to stand strong so when the winds and the waves come, we are still standing. We just thank God for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to bless Elder Timberlake, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over her life, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Be her protection and be her guide and be her strength, Lord. And as she goes through this week, just touch her, Lord, in every way and bless her on every in every area that she needs you, God. You know what she stands in need of. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for her every need being supplied. We thank you for giving her the desires of her heart. We thank you that you're her shepherd and that she shall not want. We thank you that you're her light and that you're her light and salvation. We thank you for it, oh God. And so we plead the blood over her life and we claim victory for her in the name of Jesus. Do exceeding abundant above all that she can even ask a thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Poston.
Father God, we bless you. We praise you. We give you the glory for what's happened and what's gone forth. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your wisdom. Until we come to this place again, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being on the broadcast today. And we ask you, Lord, just come on back next week and bring somebody with you to listen in. In Jesus' name. We'll see you again next week here on the Prospering Souls broadcast. Goodbye. God bless you.
Good night. Good night. God bless.